Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Just recently, I was talking with one of my daughters, and we were talking about how God has a beautiful plan for every day. He's given us this gift of today. We talk about often making today a masterpiece. He's given us this gift of today. He's got a plan for us today. He's got some amazing things that and opportunities that he planned for this day today. But often that day can get stolen. Things don't go the way we want them to go. People do things to us and just the day can get stolen away. And we talked about the importance of not letting that day getting stolen away. We're going to continue to rejoice. We're going to continue to be glad in it when things don't go the way we want them to go. Every day, I believe there's both traps and opportunities hidden in every day. Traps that are that can steal that day away, can derail the day that God has made. And opportunities to step into what he has. Both Jesus and David in the Bible talk about God has ordained, he's written out all the days of my life. God's got a plan for today. And by faith, we're going to step into that day. We're going to take communion over this today. That from this point on in our lives, we're going to start to walk in this, to walk in God's plan for each day for our lives. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. But unfortunately, I was walking in darkness and I didn't even know it. I had just the weight and pressure of life on me. I was stressed out all the time. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business. And my business wasn't really going the way I wanted it to go. Started off good, but then I got to this place where my business was very up and down. Got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. I just remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood one evening. Just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And it wasn't for a lack of seeking and searching. I was searching after truth. I was traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts that I could find. Reading books, taking courses, not just health and fitness, other areas of life as well. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. And then one day I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. The challenge is, on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. It's got 31 chapters, so you continue like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. And immediately, when I started reading these Proverbs, I quickly saw that my way of doing things and God's way of doing things were definitely not in alignment together. And so I began to make some changes. He began to renew my mind about some things. And after a while of reading those Proverbs every day, one morning, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page of me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on will be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. So I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals and lessons and systems and teaching for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family, finance, order, time, and community. When I got started, I had no clue where to start, but I began to seek after God. I began to press into him. From that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me, began to train me, began to take me through his process. And I had to go through a process of just unlearning a lot of my old ways, breaking free of some patterns, got put in some impossible-looking situations, only to see God just continue to show up over and over and over again. And learning this just different way of living, where we make God the source of everything. And over the course of about 10 years, I just documented what God was taking me through. And it turned into this whole program that we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. When things are going the wrong direction, it has the ability to just turn things around, change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our remembrance. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I've found that communion can be this way, where we take these promises that God has made and we activate them in our lives. It serves as a marker in time to say that day that I took communion over that, I believed, I received God's help walking in that promise from this point on. And we get to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do to trigger those memories in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Physical things can help us remember. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember that God didn't have to send Jesus. He loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross for us. He goes through everything that he went through, leading up to the cross and on the cross, all in order to connect us back to God, to make us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. And I think it's important to remember both sides, both what he went through and also what that means for us. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and health and fitness advice. Because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the, so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's make it a masterpiece today. How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to God. We have to have this eternal relationship with Him, but our relationship with Him has got to be brought down into today to impact all the things that we do today. And masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. So our first one. Well, first, let's remember. God's got a process He's taken us through. When God brought the people from Egypt to the promised land, there was a process He took them through. He couldn't just take them right there. There was a letting go of some old ways and patterns, a learning how to rest and trust in God along the way. Now, for us to step into God's promises that He has for us, I believe it takes a similar process. First, they get released out of bondage and slavery, out of darkness in Egypt. They cross the Red Sea, which the Bible tells us was like their baptism. Then they go into the wilderness, and God gives them a glimpse of the promised land. While they're in the wilderness, God's proving His trustworthiness and His faithfulness, and He gives them this glimpse of a life that's of a land that's better than they've ever imagined. But unfortunately, most of the people reject it. They want to go back to the way things were. They're not willing to move forward by faith, believing and trusting in what God can do. Rather, they're looking at what they can do in their own strength. Those that are willing to move forward eventually cross over the Jordan River, which took a step of faith. They had to take the first step because the waters did not part until they stepped into them first. Then they cross over into the promised land on the other side. And the first step that happens, there's a circumcision that happens. They had to let go, put off the flesh, let go of some old ways. And they got to learn to walk in this new way of living where they're relying on, they're trusting in God. And there's a transition time where they learn how to begin to let God beautify their lives, for Him to do the work before they truly step into and occupy and possess the promised land. I think God takes us through a similar process in our life. And so our four fundamentals, our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and belief and humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. And we're going to let that grace and forgiveness flow through us to other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Delighting in the truth. Always hoping. Always trusting. Always persevering. Because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our position all day long. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws a pass, but the receiver runs in the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we get positioned in the light, we're stepping into Christ, and God has taken everything that He has, and He gave it all to Jesus. We get this amazing opportunity. We get access to that today, to His Spirit and power and presence, His love and peace and joy, His mind and wisdom. It's all available to flow through us today. We got access to His health and energy, the health and energy we need for today. We've got more than enough time in there. He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. We become part of His family. We've got fellowship with God, fellowship with people. There's order in there. There's time in there. You name it, it's all in there, available to be received and to flow through us today. But we have to learn how to get in position, and then we got to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world where we can see the fruit and the result of it. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light within us. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. Where we have hearts that understand God's grace, we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I like to think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over on the inside? What are those things that we're consistently speaking about? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. He eagerly desires to help us. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to toil away, meditating on those problems. Because you probably had this example. You had some issue or problem. The more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, the more you rolled it over in your mind, it seemed like the problem grew bigger. It got magnified. Well, that same principle works in the other direction. If we'll learn to give those problems over to God, cast our cares onto him, and to magnify him as bigger, it's going to lead to some different solutions in our life. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to learn to recognize those symptoms. When we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, we might have the tendency to retaliate at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them a silent treatment. We might isolate ourselves. On the inside, you have this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness or like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind. There's this torment in our mind. We're dreading things of the future, envisioning worst case scenarios out in the future. And we get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless because his peace and his joy, his love, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy. We've got more than enough time. We've got connection with him. It all just begins to flow through us. There's purpose and grace for today. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for today in there. And all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I'm off track. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. Then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you feel the weight just lift off you on the inside. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day. But we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are short phrases, maybe a sentence, maybe one word, that we keep rewriting at the top of our journal every night as a way to reinforce God's standards and the vision and direction for where He's leading us. And it helps us to navigate throughout the day. As an example, you might write something like this: God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase can help to navigate you throughout the day when there's issues and pressures, people wrong you in some way. It can help to navigate you through those situations. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? What's the most important thing you're trying to get across to me? And I just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, whether I think it was God or not, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day because every day He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. He's got this amazing day planned for today. All these hidden opportunities just waiting to be stepped into by faith today. But we've got to stay tuned into Him to step into those opportunities. You ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him? Just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths. Get aware of His presence with you. Think about like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up or powered back up in Him again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of Him and the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I'm getting behind God. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's got a beautiful plan for today. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? I felt like He was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. What's the first words we see God speak? Which is, let there be light. So I've begun to start my days this way for a while now. Very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing just brings a different energy into the day. Then we get connected to God. We start walking out that plan together in partnership with Him today. Full confidence that He is right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life, things that we could never make happen on our own. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our life. Let's take a look at this scripture. Psalms 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got some amazing opportunities hidden in today. The gift of today. Today is such a gift. But today can also be stolen. That plan that God has for us can be stolen away from us. When we start to get out of position, we start to magnify the wrong things. That day can be stolen from us. Now, can we get it back? Yes, God can redeem it. We can get right back into the light. And it's learning to become a master of today. And so, Heavenly Father, we're asking for your help to just teach us and train us of the value, just give us understanding of the value of today, that this is the day that the Lord, that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to make today a masterpiece and to step into all these amazing opportunities that you've hidden in every day. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever, walking in darkness, doing life on our own without him. But he loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come. Think about who he was. He's willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciple, spit on and mocked and ridiculed, all this pressure on him in the garden, hit and whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. Isaiah 53, it says it pleased God to crush him. He was destroyed by God. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. We've got God on our side, fighting for us. And that's an amazing thing. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us about the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's the forgiveness of sins. He releases us from darkness. He transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God, this personal covenant relationship with him, where God has bound himself to do continually good for us. It's been ratified. It's been sealed in the blood of Jesus. It's a blood sworn oath. I believe as you experience God helping you walk out today, his beautiful plan for today, to rejoice and to be glad in it. What's our part? I think we start with rejoicing and being glad in it. It's just going to help you to know him that much more, to know his grace and his goodness and his love that much more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Health and fitness stuff. In the world of health and fitness, we talk about exercise, we talk about nutrition, we talk about emotions, all these types of things are important. But one of the shortcuts, I believe, one of the easiest ways to just change your health and to start rejoicing, to make today a masterpiece, just have a song in your heart. I think it's one of the simplest and easiest ways to make a big impact on your health. Just have a song in your heart continually. One of the simplest things you can do is actually something the Bible tells us to do in the New Testament. Have a song in your heart continually. Just such an amazing shift just happens in the chemistry of the body when we have a song in our heart continually. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.